announcing the What is RevOps Handbook, the only guide you will need to learn how to accelerate your sales cycle, improve win rates, and create a predictable revenue model. Learn how to establish a revenue operations team, grow a revenue machine, and how to measure success, all within the What is RevOps Handbook. Head to evster.com/what-is-revops or click the link in the description below to grab your copy today. This is Sales Ops Demystified, the number one most downloaded podcast in sales operations. We invite the brightest minds in sales ops onto the show to deconstruct the what, why, and how behind rep productivity, forecasting, metrics, and all things revenue. This podcast is brought to you by EBSTA, a revenue intelligence platform used to identify risk in the pipeline and score customer engagement, and is sponsored by the Global Sales Operations Association and the UK Revenue Operations Network. Hello, and welcome to another very special episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. And today we are joined by a true legend in the game, Don Otvos, currently running revenue operations at Lean Data. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So super excited to have you on, Don, for a number of reasons. Reason number one, you have worked at SalesLoft. You've worked at Yammer. You have been in the sales ops game for a long time. So obviously that's great. We love that. Number two is that, as I mentioned to you before we started recording, Lean Data has popped up both where previous guests have worked, but also where previous guests actually use you guys. So I want to talk about your journey in sales ops, but I also want to talk about your view of sales / RevOps at the moment, because obviously you're leading RevOps at the leading RevOps platform. So let's get straight into this. Now, when did you first decide or arrive upon the world of sales operations?
Yeah, sales operations. So it's interesting. I was actually working at MuleSoft. This would be back in 2007, 2008. So this is back when, I know MuleSoft is like, you know, they had a great exit. They got purchased by Salesforce. Back when I was there, it was just, you know, Ross Mason and like about, you know, 75, 80 of us. And I was working for a VP of sales that I had worked for previously. So this was the second time I had worked with him. I was a quota carrying rep. And as you know, 2008 was the last time we kind of went through an economic downturn. And we went through a series of layoffs and I got laid off. And the VP of sales that I was working for at the time, his name is Phil Bradley. He sat me down. He's like, hey, we're going to have a layoff today. You know, things happen. Nothing against you personally, but I'm not going to be a reference for you if you take another sales job. And I was like, wait, what? Like, he's like, I'm happy to be a reference for you if you go into sales operations. He's like, I worked for you at two companies. You know, you've been a rep at both. And he's like, you're a C-B+ rep, right? Or B-C+ rep, right? He's like, you're relatively reliable. You don't knock it out of the park, but you're not flailing and failing either. But having worked with you two companies, I think that you really have a passion for sales operations. You know, you're the one everyone turns to when they need to get something done in Salesforce. If we got to run a report, if we got to build a dashboard, if we got to load leads or do anything in Salesforce, you know, you're the one everyone turns to. And he's like, I really think for you in your career, this is something you should really pursue. And so I got laid off. I took some time off, and he ended up connecting me with a recruiter who specialized in placing people that do sales operations. His name was Mark Gentry. And Mark and I had worked together before as well at another company prior. And he placed me at Yammer. And so when I interviewed at Yammer, the funny thing was, and when I talked to David Sachs, and again, this is when Yammer was maybe 20, 30 people, David was much more interested in finding people that were passionate about, you know, what they were doing and rather than the experience that they had. Right. So like when I interviewed with him, we had used Yammer at MuleSoft, and I basically walked him through everything that I liked about the product, everything I hated about the product. And it got to the end of the interview, and I don't think I talked about maybe a handful of things about sales ops. He's like, I'll give you a chance. I'll hire you. And so that was really my first, you know, bite at the apple of doing sales operations was David Sachs taking a chance on hiring someone who's never done it before, to basically take the sales team there, which had just bought Salesforce. So it was a brand new instance. No one had done anything to it, right? I'm like, hey, just give me 3 weeks. Let me, 3-4 weeks. Let me set up some, you know, basic functions and some processes around what we're going to do, and then we'll run with it. And that's what we ended up doing. I joined in February of 2010, and then, you know, by June of 2012, you know, we were sold to Microsoft for $1.2 billion. And by the time that I left, about 9 months later, we were at $80 million ARR run rate. So it was like, okay, maybe I'm good at this sales operations thing. Maybe it's something I should continue to do. So that was really my first foray was getting everything set up at Yammer, setting up those processes and working with the different teams. You know, again, because then, as in now, sales operations, revenue operations is something that touches every team, and it was very much that way at Yammer. It was great to be able to work with people in product. You know, people on the engineering team, people in marketing, you know, people, I mean, it was, you know, our sales enablement person was so good that she ended up doing enablement for the entire company from an HR perspective. So, you know, it was just, Yammer was a really fantastic experience, a great company to work for. And it was where I got my first tour of duty doing sales operations.
It's almost like if there's a CEO or founder here running a tech company and they want to sell to a bigger tech company, they need to bring Don on the team, right? Because it's been MuleSoft, Microsoft, SAP have acquired companies whilst you've been running sales ops there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and it's funny. I mean, like I mean, sales ops is my team that ends up being closest to the numbers outside of finance, right? So finance can definitely tell a story. They can paint a picture, you know, with ones and zeros. But I think, you know, RevOps is much closer to the sales team. So there you can paint the picture of, you know, who are the people we're selling to? Why are they buying? You know, what is it about our offering that is causing people to say, you know, I want to purchase what this company is selling? And so I think, you know, us being able to tell that story, you know, and if you are looking for an exit, right, you know, that is a story you need to make sure you're really good at telling. You know, sales ops, rev ops is able to help paint that picture.
So like a really interesting point, were you or the sales ops team or lead involved in helping the founder CEO through the acquisition process or through communicating the value of the business as they happened?
I mean, not directly. I mean, I was never involved directly with doing anything like with what we were doing with Microsoft when that purchase occurred, you know, but, you know, David, you know, and other founders that I've worked with, other CEOs, you know, they rely very heavily on sales ops and rev ops to help them put together board decks. Right. So it's like, you know, if we need to show, you know, certain things in certain ways to demonstrate, you know, ARR growth, for example, you know, do we see more growth that's happening in new customers, or is there something we can tell in the upsell story? You know, is it from growth in price? Is it from growth of users? Is it from growth in product? You know, it's usually, you know, my team that's doing that, putting that together. So that when you have the CEO putting that deck together, that they are then presenting if they are looking for an exit, you know, that you know that the data that you put together is getting used for those discussions.
Makes total sense. Little curveball now. From your extensive sales ops experience, what do you think is the most important skill set that a sales ops lead or team member needs
This is like one of my favorite questions. My experience has been that some of the best sales ops people that I have worked with are people that actually were a sales rep at one time. It's typically not somebody that's a, you know, finance, you know, accounting major, you know, that came out from a numbers background. But it's actually someone who has experienced the pain of being a salesperson and having to have, you know, used tech and tried to make tech work for them. You know, usually, you know, if you have that empathy in you, from a RevOps perspective, you know, you are probably going to be a much better person in that function because you've walked the walk of a salesperson. You understand the pain that they go through. And if you have the attitude of trying to solve for that pain, you know, I just really believe you're going to have a much better experience and you have much more success in your approach if you have that background.
Okay, you have empathy for the customer now. So does that mean, Don, that you only hire people into your team in sales or RevOps roles that have sales experience?
No, absolutely not. But it really depends. It depends on the function, right? Like I can tell you, we just recently hired a data analyst on my team. You know, he has a banking background, has never done tech, has never worked at a startup. So you know, that piece of it was a wholesale change for him, you know, but he has the numbers background and can make numbers sing, right? So like that's really what I wanted. So I didn't care that he didn't have a sales, you know, rep background. I didn't care that he you know, hadn't worked at a startup. It didn't matter to me. What mattered is that he could take numbers and help me paint the picture that I wanted to paint with it. And he you know, it was a little bit of a change, culture shift for him. But he's experiencing a lot of success at Lean Data now. With that shift because of his background. So it's, you don't always need, you don't have to have 100% of your team, you know, be people that carried a bag. But one of the things I always try to keep an eye out for is, you know, if I find there is an ADR or SDR or an AE that seems to have more of a RevOps mindset, you know, I kind of keep that in the back of my head in the event that, you know, if I do have an opening and they want to give it a shot, it's like, hey, do you want to take this path? Here's a path that could be open to you that you might enjoy. Right.
Just as the person you mentioned at the start of the show did to you in your journey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but when I went to Yammer.
Yeah. So your old...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
David, I mean, David Sachs, I don't know. I'm not sure if you realize what I'm talking about.
I'm aware. I listened to a podcast with him.
PayPal Mafia. Yeah. I mean, he's the one that gave me my shot. I mean, I would not be where I am today had David not given me that chance at Yammer back in 2010.
Got it. Okay, cool. Now I want to transition into RevOps. My question for you, Don, is, did you convert to RevOps pre or post Lean Data?
RevOps is I went into Lean Data with the attitude of RevOps. So when I interviewed, you know, one of the things I did was a little bit of homework on our founder, Evan Lang. So, you know, Evan very much has the philosophy that revenue operation, you know, it's not sales operations. Sales operations is a silo, a silo is a bad word. It's a component of revenue operations. Revenue operations really spans the entire customer journey from, you know, when someone enters your marketing system, how they get treated, how they flow through that system over to sales. And then of course, sales operations is, you know, everything you're doing within the sales side. So Salesforce, everything they're touching, Salesloft, all the different tools through the closed one process. And then of course, once they're closed one, you probably have a CX team that is going to handle them as a customer and then handle them for upsells and renewals. So really, you know, that customer success operations piece as well. That's really the breadth of what revenue, what we envision revenue operations to be. And so, you know, that is what I presented when I met with the executive team at Lean Data when I was interviewing last year. And it just resonated with them because it's something that they see as well. And it's really the attitude that I've taken is that, you know, if revenue operations can own the customer journey and make that the most amazing, you know, experience for that customer, you know, you're probably going to get more customers. And there's a lot of points, right? There's a lot of points along the way, along that journey, you know, where things can go wrong, right? From you know, submitting a web form and having too many fields to fill out, right? Like, why would you want that experience? Well, you know, marketing says we need to collect all this information. Well, I can tell you from RevOps, we have sales tech that can, you know, you just give me the email, I'll fill everything else out for you. Oh, okay. Well, now we can ask for 4 fields. You know, and what does that do? It makes it a better customer experience, right? So, you know, having that breadth of knowledge of, you know, the different tools that you have at your disposal in order to make that customer experience, that customer journey, you know, the most, you know, amazing, enriching thing from start to finish. You know, I think that's kind of what encapsulates, you know, what the RevOps function is. And it is something that we talk about at Lean Data a lot. It is something that we, you know, inadvertently we're doing at SalesLoft as well. And I just think that there's a general move towards having, you know, revenue operations own more of that function, so that we can help, right? Like, you know, it's having that understanding and knowledge of what to do does nothing but improve what those efficiencies are in those handoffs that happen between marketing, sales and customer success.
So did you manage the synchronization and those handoffs with CS and marketing previously just through relationships with counterparts in those other departments? Like, how did you manage this when you, like, in the past 10 years whilst you were doing sales operations?
Yeah, I mean, like prior to that, it was much more just a like, hey, we got to make sure that we're on the same page, right? Like, you're not on my team, I'm not on your team, but we have the same end goal, so let's just make sure that we're in communication so that we know what we're doing. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I was sitting in every meeting where, you know, for example, in my other example, you know, hear somebody say that we got to have, you know, 15 fields on a form fill for a web page, right? Like, if I saw that, I might go back and go, hey, well, why are we doing that? You know, maybe we don't want to do that. Here's why. You know, and I could maybe, you know, propose that we make a change. But the level of influence, you know, if you're not connected in the same umbrella, the level of influence, I think, is less, and that the ability to get things done might not be as high.
That makes sense. And so something is causing there to be a greater return by combining these teams, something in the market. And for me, it's technology, I think.
Yeah. I mean, technology and process, right? So, like, you know, I think one of the things that we see, you know, as a RevOps team is we can identify, you know, where things are getting stuck, you know, across the entire, you know, end-to-end journey, and then help jump in to figure out, okay, what do we know that exists? What do we have today? What technology are we using? What processes can we put in place from processes that we've had experience with to address the issue that we're having to get it resolved as quickly as possible?
Makes total sense. Don, I would like you to just give a brief overview of the Lean Data platform, because it's obviously very relevant to the audience. Could you just quickly explain how the platform can help a Rev or SalesOps person?
Yeah, I mean, I ran into Lean Data, I think, back when it first started. I was at DataHug, so this was probably like 2015 or so. You know, I think, you know, again, like if you're a sales, you're not going to be a Lean Data customer unless you're using Salesforce. One of the issues that everybody has in Salesforce, right? This isn't unique to anybody. It's unique to being a Salesforce customer, is the issue of leads and how they convert to contacts and how they get associated properly and assigned properly within your system. So that whole process of, you know, when a lead comes in, making sure that it goes to the right person, and then that person replies with the right message, you know, with the right context of understanding, you know, why is it this person came into the system? What am I doing with it now? That whole lead to account matching flow is something that native in Salesforce does not work well at all. And I think it's a pain that everybody, you know, anybody at a RevOps, SalesOps level has experienced to some degree, depending on, you know, probably the level of flow of leads that you have. And that's really what lean data solves in an elegant way with a drag and drop interface. You don't need to know any coding. And so that when you have, you know, leads come in, you can trigger them to get routed based on any fields that are in Salesforce. So that, you know, if there is an open opportunity, if there is an existing account, if they are a customer, right? If there is an open case, right? Maybe they have a support case open. If a ADR is talking to them or has activity, right? Any of those features of that person when they come into your system can be leveraged to make sure that it gets to the right person. And then when that person follows up, they understand why it got assigned to them and what is the right context to follow up with, right? Because I think the last thing you want, because what happens if you don't have that is you have leads that come in, you know, an SDR follows up and the person goes, oh, I'm already talking to someone at your company, or I'm already a customer, or, that SDR, that first line salesperson has none of the context of understanding, you know, how does this person relate in my system? I don't know. They just came in as a lead and I'm trying to follow up on it. So that's really the main pain that lean data solves. But the beauty of lean data, you know, is that we can actually apply that ability to route objects to any object in Salesforce. And it could be standard objects or custom objects. And so if you have custom objects that need to get assigned, you have things like cases. If you're doing a lot of changes to your territories and you need to do a reassignments frequently, lean data is the platform that allows you to do that in an easy and elegant way.
Lovely, really good explanation. I've felt the pain of the leads versus contacts debate in a previous life. So there'll be links, anyone listening, there'll be links to lean data around or below this audio/video. Don, now the most important question. Who in the world of sales operations would you most like to take for lunch?
Oh, take to lunch? Gosh, I've met so many fantastic people. God, who would I want to meet that I haven't met yet?
Oh, no. So it could be someone that you do already know.
Oh, man. So I'll tell you this. I will tell you, I think one of the biggest shifts in my career and then like the way that I look at things from a RevOps perspective, where it changed the most was after I met Pete Kazanji. Pete, at the time that I met Pete, I got introduced to him through First Round Capital. First Round Blog had interviewed me while I was at DataHug to talk about my experience at Yammer. And as part of being in that ecosystem, I got introduced to Pete because Pete had just sold his company, TalentBin, to Monster. And you know, he was looking at it as like, okay, what do I do next? And he's like, you know what I want to solve for? I want to solve for the problem of founders that don't know how to do sales, right? So he was trying to tackle the, I don't want, you know, people to have to reinvent the wheel, right? I want to be able to provide a way for people to learn from each other about sales operations so that, you know, if someone's running into a problem, they can pose a question in a forum and then get an answer and be able to, you know, and be able to leverage that knowledge in doing what they're doing. And so he started something called Modern Sales Pros, invited me to a dinner that he was having at the First Round office. There was about 20 or 30 of us in that first meeting. And it was just other people that Pete had run into in the sales ops ecosystem here in San Francisco. And it was just like, hey, let's just sit down and talk about, like, if you have this problem, what do you do? And we all broke into groups and we did it. And Modern Sales Pros grew from that 20 people to, I mean, I think the mail list now has like 11,000, 12,000 people on it. It's kind of incredible. And it's a great forum. If you're not a part of it, you know, it's an invite only. So you do need to kind of figure out how to reach out to Pete and ask to get added to it, or you can reach out to me and I can get you an invite. There's no profit motive. I mean, the only things that they really charge for is to cover expenses if they do events. And so it makes it a very tightly moderated, you know, neutral forum for RevOps folks like me to go like, oh my gosh, I'm having this problem. what do you all do when you have this problem? And people are more than happy to tell you like, oh yeah, look at, try this process or look at this product. And I learn stuff in that forum on an almost daily basis of approaches to issues, new products that are in the market, things that are popping up, ways to use things that are already out there in different ways. So Pete is probably my sales ops hero in that instance. A lot of what I've learned, a lot of how I've grown has been a result of, what I've done through being a member of Modern Sales Pros and how I've leveraged that through when I was at SalesLoft and now I'm at Lean Data.
Shout out to Pete and Modern Sales Pros. We'll link below for Modern Sales Pros. I'm aware of the community, absolutely. And I wasn't that's astounding, 11,000 members. Amazing. Don, thank you. We're actually gone a bit over time, but it's fine because there's been some serious wisdom laid down here. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing the story, sharing your thoughts on RevOps, sharing more about Lean Data. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. If you are listening on a podcast listening application, then please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you have any questions about the show, if you know a guest, or if you have any questions about sales operations, just hit me up at tomhunt@ebster.com. That's tomhunt@ebster.com.